We're also joined by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
Sid McKenna, the Rhode Island Democratic Party faced a big backlash after some controversial endorsements in 2018, including how a former Donald Trump backer got the local committee endorsement over Democratic State Rep. Maura Walsh, who happens to be a thorn in the side of House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello. What is the Democratic Party doing to avoid this kind of situation in the future?
Well, the chairman has acknowledged that that was a mistake and has also made a commitment to not do that going forward, to make that kind of appointment. So I think that we are taking steps to avoid a similar situation in the future.
The Republican Party in the state, they like to say that the legacy of 80 or so years of single-party Democratic rule in Rhode Island is budget deficits, underperforming schools, and other problems. How do you respond?
I would say to look on the national level and what the Republican Party has done in terms of driving the country very deep into debt, our national deficit, and then the irresponsible and reckless spending coming right from the top from the president.
But nonetheless, these are serious issues in Rhode Island. Do Democrats not bear responsibility for that?
I wouldn't say that the budget deficits in the state are a partisan issue. I think that the Rhode Island economy has, you know, severely struggled during the recession. They say we're the first ones in, the last ones out, and we've taken time to bounce back. But I do think that the state is on the right track, and that's encouraging.
Let's go to Scott.
Isn't it understandable that women are a little skeptical of the Rhode Island Democratic Party when both of your top leaders, Senate President Ruggiero and House Speaker Mattiello, are both anti-choice?
I get this question a lot, and I do think that you have to look at the Democratic platform as a whole platform. And when you start picking certain issues out, you leave a lot behind. For example, when the governor of Louisiana was reelected, he's got a terrible track record on choice, but is huge on Medicaid expansion. And that's something that's very important in a southern state. So you can't look myopically at one issue to define whether or not someone is a good Democrat or an effective Democrat.
The Democratic State Committee has about 250 members. What percentage of those are women?
I wouldn't know that.
Is it anywhere close to resembling the percentage of women in the Democratic electorate in Rhode Island? Because critics say that it's not.
I would have to look at that information more closely.
One other related question. The new bylaws recently approved for the Democratic State Committee give the chairman the power to appoint 14 at-large state committee members. Will any of those be members of minority groups and or women?
Well, that is really the point of trying to have the new at-large appointments. We're working very hard to diversify the Democratic State Committee. And so we're really doing a lot of outreach to try to encourage members from underrepresented communities to apply.
We're coming right up on the Iowa caucuses and New Hampshire primary. Things are starting to get hot in the presidential race. I'm wondering, though, we've got two very small, overwhelmingly white states that kicked this off. They're not representative of the United States. Do you really think the Democratic Party ought to have this kind of a structure in choosing the candidate?
I agree with you, Scott. I look at those early primaries, and I feel the same way. As a woman of color, I would really like to see more representation in the early voting states, and I think that we have some work to do in that area.
We had Rhode Island House Republican leader Blake Phillippe here last week, and he said the Democratic-controlled legislature has manipulated the redistricting process so grotesquely that Republicans should actually have about 20 more legislative seats in Rhode Island than they do. Is he right?
I don't think so.
Why not?
But the state is overwhelmingly a Democratic state. So I think that no matter how you slice the map, you're still going to get large numbers of registered Democrats voting. So.
But if you look at support for President Trump or other Republicans in Rhode Island, there is a gap between that level of support and the representation of Republicans in elected office. How would you explain that?
I think that Donald Trump is a one-off in himself. And so I wouldn't use him as a barometer in terms of Republican support across the state.
Do you think it's because Republicans don't necessarily recruit good candidates for the legislature?
I don't think that that's the case, but I do think that the Republicans as a party don't have as much of a stronghold in the state here.
Yeah, but aren't these elections friends and neighbors elections almost like when you're in high school and you're playing shirts and skins in a scrimmage? I mean, they're very local in Rhode Island. The districts are small, and the way people campaign is door to door through coffee clutches, this kind of thing.
Right. I mean, and I maybe they just don't have the candidates getting out there, or maybe I think that a lot of the politics in the state are just deeply rooted in history here. And so it's very hard to uproot what has been kind of a traditional way that people vote, especially in the neighborhoods.
Would the recent bylaws approved by the state Democratic Party prevent a committee member from getting censured for something short of illegal behavior on behalf of the party, like such as making sexist remarks about another Democrat?
I think that the new bylaws have given the party, the executive committee, room to definitely censure people more than they have in the past. So I think that the change in the bylaw is a positive thing in that sense.
Something you hear from the business community and Republicans often is that the public employee unions have too much influence in the Democratic Party. Is that true?
I wouldn't characterize that as true.
In Rhode Island, the Democratic Party is supposed to exemplify small d democratic values, but it often seems as if there's a very top-down process. Speaker Mattiello is effectively the leader of the Democratic Party. Is the party actually living up to its values of small d democracy?
What I haven't seen that since I've been executive director. I've had a chance to really interact with Democrats across the state. I've gone to the city and town committee meetings, and we've been able to talk about things that we can all do together to work on to advance small d democratic values. So I have...
Such as,
for example, we just got a grant from the Special Party Innovation Fund from the DMC, and that will help do outreach to Southeast Asian voters in Providence and Warwick and Cranston, and to work with translation. And so this is really about trying to bring people into the party and diversify our ranks.
Are you concerned that there'll be a rift between liberals, the so-called Sanders-Warren wing, and the more moderate folks, say Klobuchar and Biden, as we head into the election year? I know nothing galvanizes Democrats
right, like
Donald Trump, but there are some large differences within the party on the ideological spectrum.
I think that having that within a primary is expected and normal. I think that the most important thing is that the Democratic candidates have all signed a pledge to come together after the convention and support whoever is the nominee and really pool resources and pool everything to go in to beat Donald Trump.
We saw back in 2016 how the traditionally Democratic town of Johnston voted for Donald Trump in a big way over Hillary Clinton. That was one of the biggest swings from D to R in a Rhode Island community. What do Democrats need to do differently to win back voters in communities like Johnston?
I think, as you said, get on the ground, door to door, really go and talk to people and explain what's at stake and explain how it impacts their lives, specifically in their pocketbook, because that's where people really understand the difference between our policies.
And what are some of those pocketbook issues? I know in 2018, Democrats were pretty successful with the health care issue
right, in
taking back the U.S. House.
Right. And I think that it's the economy. It's being able to advance in the economy. It's job training. It's job mobility, employment mobility. It's education. It's paying for education. It's taxes. I think there's plenty of issues.
All right, that's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the executive director of the Rhode Island Democratic Party, Sid McKenna.
Thank you.